grace be yours and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon is our second lesson reading for today. It's taken from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We read in the 6th chapter, beginning at verse 12. I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. You say, food for the stomach, and the stomach for food, and God will destroy them both. The body, however, is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said the two will become one flesh. But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body. But whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. This is God's word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the head of his spiritual body, of which we are its members, dearly loved by God. Protective guards are put on machinery to protect workers from injury, especially the loss of arms and hands. My wheat farmers in Washington were always complaining about the guards that were on their seed planters and their combines, because they were always in the way of what they were trying to do when they went to work on them. But they realized that they were there for their protection, that they kept them from not only losing hands and arms, but at times even protected them from death by those guards keeping the bodies from being pulled into the machinery. Think about that in terms of God's Word. God's Word is a safeguard. It's a protection that God puts up to protect our souls from death. God's Word also is a safeguard that protects my body. God's Word shows me how I am to use my body as a member of Christ's spiritual body, so that I don't lose either my soul or my body to the dangers, to the results that might come if I'm not careful living in this immoral and skeptical culture that surrounds me. The Word of God is a safeguard for us. The gospel has changed our lives. It has changed not only our spirits, giving us now one in spirit with Christ, but it also one day will change our bodies when our Lord Jesus returns to raise us from the dead. And being one with him in spirit, we want to use those one day resurrected bodies in a way now that is pleasing to God, in a way that is in accordance with God's will. The Word reveals that Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price to redeem our souls, and at the same time that price redeemed our bodies. And our bodies now are the temples of the Holy Spirit. Give your attention this morning as the Apostle Paul describes for us Christians safeguards for threats against our body and soul. And there really are three of those that Paul points out. First, it's necessary to know the difference between Christian liberty and license. And secondly, we need to avoid the danger of self-destroying sin. And thirdly, we want to use our bodies to fulfill now the purpose of our redeemed life. First of all, we guard our souls and bodies in the Word by being able to discern the difference between Christian liberty and license. Christian liberty is that I can do, am free to do, whatever God neither commands nor forbids. Food for the body. Body is for food. There is no food that God says I cannot eat. And so now in my Christian liberty, I have a body that needs food, and God provides me all foods that can take care of my body. The Christians in Corinth, however, had confused that Christian liberty with license. And license is when something gets control of me, particularly sin. And then I try to excuse that sin by saying, well, I'm really free to do that. God has given me freedom to live that way. Because the Corinthians were living in a culture where sexual immorality was so tied with heathen worship, Paul reminds them particularly about sexual sins. And living in our cultural surroundings today, where sexual immorality is tied so much with the idolatry of self and the idolatry of pleasure and the idea that my body is my own and I can use it however I want, these words of the apostle today certainly are timely. And Paul reminds us that when it comes to using our body for sexual sins, it's not the same thing as food for the body and the body for food. He wrote to them, the body, however, is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. God has given us a body so that we can give our bodies to Him in the way we live. What are some examples that we might look at confusing the difference between Christian liberty and license, or something getting control of me that is a sin? Think about how we worship. Does God command you and me to worship on a particular day? No. So, in Christian liberty, you and I are free to worship in whatever day, on whatever day we want. Well, what happens is we might confuse that with license that says, well, I don't have to go to public worship at all then. I can avoid public worship altogether. I can worship God on my own. Who needs to go to church? Or, I am free to eat and drink all things. God has not forbidden anything for me to eat or drink. Therefore, I am free to overeat. Therefore, I am free to get drunk. Therefore, I'm free to abuse my body with those things. That's not liberty. That is license. I can date and marry whoever I want. I can enjoy sexual relations with my spouse in whatever way we mutually agree to that fits in with God's Word. That's my Christian liberty as one flesh with my spouse. Christian license confuses that to say, well, now I can have sexual relations when I'm not married. Now I can have sexual relations with someone who is not my spouse. Now I am free to enjoy any pornia, which is the word that Paul uses here, that covers the broad range of sexual immorality. Christian liberty is to use in the control that God gives me for the good of others and for the good of myself those things that God neither commands nor forbids. Christian license is using the forgiveness of my sins and coming under the power of sin to use my justification as an excuse to continue to love my sins. We need that safeguard for our bodies and our souls to know that difference. We also need the second safeguard that Paul talks about, and that's where porneia comes in, to avoid the danger of self-destroying sin. Most sin, when you think about it, really destroys others or harms others or their property. I mean, think of the commandments. Don't murder. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Don't covet. Those sins all have to do with the damage that I do when I sin against others. Paul says in the sixth commandment, when we talk about sexual immorality, that there the sin is not only against someone else, but it is against my own body. It is destroying my own body. God has given husbands and wives within the creation of marriage that joy and privilege and blessing of being one flesh through sexual relations. When husband and wife join together in those sexual relations, they become one with the other. And so Paul says, you can't do that with somebody other than your spouse. Because if you have sexual relations with somebody apart from marriage or other than your spouse, then you've taken what God intends in marriage to be that one flesh and have become one flesh apart from marriage, which is a sin, not only against them, but a sin against your own body. There are many such threats to this wickedness in the sea of immoral culture in which you and I live today. Paul reminds us that our members are not our own. They belong to God. God has, when He called us as His children, united us to Christ. We are the bride of Christ united to our heavenly bridegroom in that spiritual union. And so Paul puts up that safeguard and says, you don't want to take those members. You don't want to take that union that you have with Christ as His bride and put that union with a prostitute, to put that union with somebody else in sexual immorality, because that will destroy your body. That will destroy your soul. It will destroy us like all sin destroys us as it leads us away to God. And finally, the apostle speaks about using our redeemed bodies the way God wants us to. And certainly that applies, as we talked about, in sexual purity. It applies in other ways, as God reminds us through Paul that we are not our own. We are bought with a price. When Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins, He didn't pay only for our souls. He paid also for our bodies. My body is not my body to use as I want. This is one of the faulty arguments of abortion or of any sin that says my body is my own. I have the right to use it and do with it as I please. No, I don't. Because it doesn't belong to me anymore. It belongs to Christ. And I am to use it in the way God wants me to use it. And in me now, as that temple, lives the Holy Spirit. Think of our church sanctuary. This one, God willing, our new one. Within those sanctuaries, our God dwells. We would say the Holy Spirit lives in those sanctuaries. Not only as God fills all things, but particularly with His Word. Would we want this sanctuary to be used in a way for something that was sinful? Would we want our sanctuary to be used by someone who would defame it, or who would profane it, or who would use it in a way that clearly was an offense to our God? Of course not. We wouldn't want anyone to use these temples for something sinful, because God dwells in them. And so it is, Paul says, that we would not want our bodies to be used in a profane way. We would not want to use our bodies in a way that clearly goes against the commandment of God. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Protect life. Not only yours, but others. Keep your bodies pure for marriage. Keep your bodies pure in marriage. Avoid the lies and the arguments and the temptations of the world. Be guarded against them. Use them in a way that is pleasing. Flee sexual immorality. Paul says in a pretty straightforward way. We're reminded, aren't we, of Potiphar. When Potiphar's wife wanted to commit adultery with him, he didn't stand there and debate with her whether he should or not. He ran away. He fled. He got away from that sinful temptation. And so we do today also. To stay away from music and media and arguments of the world that say sexual immorality is all right, or abortion is all right, or that my body is my own to use as I see fit. Maybe I'm tired of living. Maybe I don't want to suffer anymore. So it's my body. I have the right to end my life so that I don't have to suffer anymore. Or I have the right to end someone else's life because I don't want them to suffer anymore. This is the immorality, the ungodliness that surrounds us in the arguments of the world. And so Paul reminds us that we no longer live for ourselves, but we live for Him who loved us and gave Himself up for us. That is the price Jesus paid to own us. We need safeguards against those sins that threaten not only our souls, but also our bodies. And so the Holy Spirit has given us these words of Paul through inspiration as safeguards. Brothers and sisters, enjoy your Christian liberty, but don't turn it into license. Avoid the sins that not only harm others, but also harm our own bodies. And finally, by God's power and His love, may we all now fulfill the purpose that He has given us to use our redeemed lives. Amen.